Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Welcome to Ask Margaret from What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, solving your parenting dilemmas one question at a time. Today's question comes from our Facebook group, and it says, when should I worry about a teenager's lack of desire to be with friends? This is only made worse by the pandemic, and it's always been an issue, but since we moved here 2 years ago, he's even more in the I don't care camp than before. Outside of soccer and school, he doesn't ever see friends and says he doesn't want to. FYI, he is 15. Ugh, this is a hard one. Hits me right in the feels. Was this kid? Have these kids? And it's really, really hard to watch our kids struggling socially. I will say at the beginning, this is a spectrum. So on one hand, it is fairly normal for kids to be struggling socially at the age of 15. And earlier and later, it is very normal. And it happened to me in seventh grade. I had a group of friends and they kind of turned on me. And then I was all alone. And I really didn't have any friends for seventh and eighth grade. And then I went to a different high school and changed it up a little bit. And it was really hard. And I know it was really hard for my parents to watch. One thing I would recommend against is kind of observing and honing in on this and asking a ton of questions. What happened to Bob? You and Bob used to be so close in second grade. Remember, you went to Halloween together. What happened to Bob? I think that those kind of observations can be hard on a kid who is dealing with this themselves. They're trying to manage it, and to have a lot of probing questions coming at them about it, probably not that helpful. Also, probably not that helpful is, you're not seeing enough friends. I wish you had more friends. We want to control this for our kids because we want to see them happy, and we equate happiness with being social and having a lot of friends. But if that's not happening for our kids, I think there are some better ways to deal with it. I'm going to point you to an article from yourteenmag.org, which has an advice column asking this very question. Two pieces of information that they give. Number one, separate your own emotions. And that's just what I'm saying. Trying to take the like, but you and Cindy, you were always so close, and I'm going to call Cindy's mom and I'm going to get you together and I'm going to work it out. I would resist that urge. I don't think it's that helpful. The second one is set the stage to share information. Ask questions about the situation to the family group without singling out your kid. So they have examples of a couple of questions like, would you rather have a best friend or a few close friends? Asking general questions about friendship during the meal times allows for conversations around friends. And then it allows you to offer your perspective in a wider way. So I would sit down with my kids who are struggling with this at dinner and say, what's going on at school? You know, how are the friendships going in your class? Maybe to a different kid. And if there's another kid at the table who I know is struggling, I might say, you know, this happened to me in seventh grade. I had a really tough experience where a bunch of my friends dropped me and I really didn't have any friends for 2 years. And it was super hard. And this is how I felt about it. And this is how I dealt with it. So I'm sharing my perspective, but I am not singling the kid who's struggling out and kind of trying to force that perspective on them. In that category, I think that what kids are missing when they are not succeeding in friendships is socialization. And that is something you can provide as a family. And so I want you to think of your role as being kind of like the lush, peaceful island from which they have to swim out into the shark-infested, nightmarish waters of middle school and high school every day. And the value of that cannot be overstated, that no matter how hard it gets out in the waters, they have a safe place to land with you. And that place is where they have warm meals, snacks, family game nights, fun conversations. They don't swim back to the island to get met by like the lifeguard who's sitting there and being like, what happened with that shark and that shark? And when did you get bitten? And what happened? And how much did it hurt? That's not your role. You're just there tending the fire. I'm taking this metaphor all the way, people. You're tending the fire. You've got a warm meal and bed waiting for them. I think that's the best thing that you can offer for kids who are struggling. And if your kid is struggling to participate in that, which I also understand, I think you make certain things non-negotiable. For us, family dinner is non-negotiable. Occasionally, I will have a kid who is struggling to the degree that they want to sit in a different room to have dinner, and I will allow that once a week. You can sit in a different room and have your own dinner. If you just can't even bear to sit with us, it's fine, once a week. But the other nights, you're expected to participate with your family. Same thing with family events. Maybe the all-family zipline outing, the pumpkin patch fun time is not for you because you're a grumpy 15-year-old. You can choose to opt out of one of every three activities in our family. So if you absolutely can't bear to go to the pumpkin patch, then you are going to Uncle Bob's birthday party. So leave your kids some control. They are struggling. Leave them some room. Like, I don't want someone walking up to me and being like, I know you're in a bad mood, but it's super fun all family karaoke night. Like, I'm like, no, thank you. And I try to leave that open for my kids because I know I don't always want to participate in things. But I would advise against letting a kid who is struggling get increasingly isolated. That's sort of where the trouble lies, where you have a kid who is not super involved with friendships and is in their room for 12 hours a day by themselves. It's something to keep an eye on. In this question, you talk about a kid who is going to school and playing soccer, so they are having some social outlets. But as you see a kid's world narrowing and narrowing, if they're quitting activities, if they're barely getting through the school day, if they're not participating in anything with family, that is a time I would start to worry more about this and involve a therapist and say, okay, let's maybe see if we can figure out where things are going wrong. Another thing to try is other activities. This advice sometimes makes me crazy because I'm like, the last thing I need is another activity. But I had a kid who was not doing great in school sports, just didn't like it, wasn't for him. And then we found a kind of ninja gym, and he's very agile and good at that. And he's enjoying that a lot. And that's his outlet. Another kid who maybe isn't so social, but right now he's taking drum lessons. So he's learning to hit things with sticks, and that helps him and fits well with his personality. So I would always keep in the path, like, are there other things that they can be successful at that are not just like, you have to be friends with Bob? That is the path to happiness. And that's where we're keeping our own emotions out of it, even though it is hard. There's so much to say about this. It's a difficult topic, but I hope those little pieces of advice kind of help you and keep that kid involved, keep him involved with the family, try to find some new activities, but I wouldn't get involved too much with like, I have the path to you, to friendships. He is going to have to figure that out with the sharks, and you're going to be waiting on shore no matter how hard it is. I hope that helps. If you have a question for myself or Amy, you can send them to questions@whatfreshhellpodcast.com, or you can ask them in our Facebook group at What Fresh Hellcast, and you may hear your question answered on an upcoming episode. Thanks for listening.
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors. And somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.